brothers and sisters, welcome back. Welcome home. Welcome to those of you that are joining us through Facebook or through our website. We welcome all of you to this time of celebrating God's faithfulness. The song that we were just listening to, Great Is Thy Faithfulness, was actually Brian Dirksen with Brenda Jans and the Mennonite Jazz Committee. So I trust that that reminded you of the faithfulness of God, and that's really the focus of our service here this morning. It's good to see you. We trust that that you'll be blessed as we worship the Lord together. Let's pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your faithfulness. For this occasion when we can again reopen the church and gather here, as well as others continue to gather at home for the time being, we pray your blessing upon this service, whether it's here or there, and trust that as your word goes out and people would be inspired through song and scripture and liturgy and preaching. So we just trust that you will anoint our gathering with your very presence. Mm-hmm. We desire your blessing, and we desire your protection and your provision for us and over us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, several things I'd like to call to your attention before we continue on. Ballots for elder were mailed to all of you that are church members, and you can do that in one of a couple ways. You can drop it in the basket out in the lobby, or you can mail it in, or if you just want to email or even call and say, Brother Bob, would you put my name on a ballot for me and drop it in the basket? I'd be happy to do that, but get those back in by the 21st, please. Also, there are some masks out on the table there in the lobby. In case anyone wants one or needs one, they're out there. Notice that they are washable. They're cloth. They're washable up to 15 times. If you use one, don't leave it here. Take it with you. I don't want to see it laying around here after it's been used. Sunday school for youth and children, note in the bulletin there, but digital versions of the lessons are available. Check with the teacher if you did not get that access code for the summer quarter, for June, July, and August. The teachers were forwarded the access codes to get on to students. Now, just a note that at the end of the service, I'm going to be dismissing you row by row. So don't get up at the end of the service until I call for that, please. And also a note that the offering basket for your offering envelopes is at the back of the sanctuary. You may not have seen it when you came in, but it's back there. And so if you have an offering, a tithe or offering, you can drop it in on your way out, as well as continue to mail it in or whatever. Yes, the library is closed. The basement is closed. There is no staff nursery during this initial phase in time. And thank you for respecting the distancing guidelines, and trust that you truly will be blessed. I know a lot of you were looking forward to being back together, seeing one another in person. Here we are, at least some of us. And we need to move into song here. I think we've got some great songs that we can be inspired by, and they're a testimony of our faith in the Lord.
And we've come together to call upon the Lord. So we're going to begin with I Will Call Upon the Lord. I would like that side to sing first. Bonnie and Kathy will be singing, and then this side can echo with me.
Bye.
there's a couple of seats in the overflow there that are available for people wearing masks. So. All right, I would invite you to pull out the liturgy in your bulletin. You notice that it's entitled A Liturgy for a Time of Widespread Suffering. Of course, there has been suffering going on around the world in many regards for many people, but more recently we've had the COVID-19 pandemic, and then on top of that we've been experiencing violence and all sorts of things across our country. Seems like this is a fitting thing to remind all of us of what it's all about, us and the Lord. So anyway, Adam and I are going to be reading the light print, and if you would respond, please, on the dark print. Adam is starting.
Christ our King, our world is overtaken by unexpected calamity and by a host of attending fears, worries, and insecurities. We witness suffering, confusion, and hardship multiplied around us, and we find ourselves swept up in these same anxieties and troubles, dismayed by so many uncertainties.
Now we turn to you, O God, in the receiving of our common distress.
Be merciful, O Christ, to those who suffer, to those who worry, to those who grieve, to those who are threatened or harmed in any way by this upheaval. Let your holy compassions be active throughout the world even now, tending the afflicted, comforting the brokenhearted, and bringing hope to many who are hopeless.
Indeed, O Father, may these days of disquiet become a catalyst for conviction and repentance, for the tendering of our affections, for the stirring of our sympathies, for the refining of our love.
We are your people who are called by you, and we need not be troubled for our Lord.
Indeed, O Lord, let us now love more fearlessly, remembering that you created us and appointed us to live in these very places in the midst of these unsettled times. It is no surprise to you that we are here now, sharing in this turmoil along with the rest of our society, for you have called your children to live as salt and light among the nations, praying and laboring for the flourishing of the communities where we dwell, acting as agents of your forgiveness, salvation, healing, reconciliation, and hope in the very midst of an often troubled world. And in these holy vocations, you have not left us helpless, O Lord, because you have not left us at all. Your Spirit remains among us.
Inhabit now your church, O Spirit of the living Christ. Unite the people with your people, the word of the Lord.
Father, empower your children to live as your children. In times of distress, let us respond not as those who would instinctively entrench for our own self-preservation, but rather as those who, in imitation of their Lord, would move in humble obedience toward the needs and hurts of their neighborhoods and communities. You were not ashamed to share in our sufferings, Jesus.
Hear now these words, you children of God, and be greatly encouraged. The Lord's throne in heaven is yet occupied. His rule is eternal, and his good purposes on earth will be forever accomplished. So we need never be swayed by the brief and passing panics of this age.
You are the King of the ages, O Christ, and history is held in your Father's hands.
We, your people, know the good and glorious end of this story. Our heavenly hope is secure. In this time of widespread suffering, then, let us rest afresh in the surpassing peace of that vision, that your whole church on earth might be liberated to love more generously and sacrificially.
Labor in and through us, O Lord, extending and multiplying the many expressions of your mercy. Amen.
All right, tell you what, for this next set, why don't we stand to sing? And Rich Carr, if you would go out and tell whoever's in the wings out there that there are more seats in the overflow area available.
My hope is in the Lord. Very fitting title.
For me, for me, be thy.
In light of the fact that this is our first Sunday back after worshiping at home the past 11 Sundays, I'm taking a break from the sermon series that I've been doing from the Ten Commandments. This morning, the title of the message is Celebrating God's Faithfulness. Perhaps you've caught on already by now with starting with our pre-service music and right on into the songs and the liturgy and everything, but I'm going to be looking at different passages of Scripture to call attention to several spiritual realities. Great is His faithfulness. His faithfulness endures to all generations, and we are to proclaim, to make known His faithfulness. So, let's begin with that first one. Great is His faithfulness. Now, I've just opened my Bible to Lamentations chapter 3. Verses 22 to 24. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Because His compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in Him. Now, the prophet evidently had been going through some challenging times. In verse 1, he talked about having seen affliction. In verse 2, he talked about having walked in darkness. In verse 5, there was reference to woe. In verse 7, he noted that he was hedged in so that he could not get out. In verse 18, he said, "My strength and my hope have perished." Tell me, what was your experience like during the past several months? Did you ever feel hedged in when the stay-at-home order was in effect? Did you ever feel the weight of everything that was going on around you? Seeing more and more people coming down with the virus and all that? Did you begin to lose hope when it was deemed not safe to do so many of the things that we took for granted and you had wanted to do? You know, the prophet was really feeling it until something happened. And he said in verse 21, "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope." The prophet was drawn back to think about the Lord's mercies and compassions and faithfulness, and it was that very focus, or refocusing, if you will, that made a difference. It renewed his hope. And it can really drag us down when we concentrate or focus, or it's like we're consumed by or taken over by the negative stuff going on, whether that's in our individual setting or whether it's in the world around us. But when we start to refocus and again are looking at the one who is faithful, then things take on a bit different perspective. What did the prophet realize when he refocused? For one thing, he said, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. because his compassions fail not. Great, they're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Now, I don't know, do we think about it, but really every morning that we wake up and realize there's a new day for us, it's really a gift from God. He has kept us through another night. He has brought before us another opportunity. He has extended his grace to us once again. But not only that, as we think back upon the past 3 months, he has kept us. He has provided for us. In spite of the trials and difficulties, we have not been consumed. And we ought to be declaring this morning with the prophet, "Great is your faithfulness." Another thing the prophet noted when he refocused and called to mind who the Lord was is recorded in verse 25. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. I don't know if any of you, did you find it taxing or exhausting along the way? I'm talking about the past several months, especially during those first weeks. Were there times when you felt the lockdown to be sort of a test, if you will, a test perhaps of your impatience or endurance or whatever? I have to admit that the first several weeks for me, I found somewhat exhausting. I mean, it meant finding new ways of doing things and all sorts of stuff. But regardless of what is weighing on us, we're called to wait upon the Lord that we might draw from his power and from his strength for our circumstances. So the Bible says in Isaiah 40:28-31, "Have you not known, have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Isn't it wonderful how God renews our strength, how he refreshes our soul, how he lifts our spirits, how he sees us through? Indeed, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. So, great is his faithfulness. Now, the second thing that I want to highlight this morning is that his faithfulness endures to all generations. And I'm turning now to Psalm 119, verses 89 to 95. And I'd like you to notice what is said here about the Lord, about his nature, about his character, and so on. "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth and it abides. They continue this day according to your ordinances, for all are your servants. Unless your law had been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I'm yours. Save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I consider your testimonies. I have seen the consummation of all perfection by your commandment, but your commandment is exceedingly broad." Now, in the May newsletter from Friendship International, there's a testimonial here from Nina Bistricinio. My apology for that pronunciation, but Bonnie, you could have helped me with that probably. She said this. She had grown up in Romania, and she said, "With the worldwide development of COVID-19, I called to check up on how the situation in Petroia, that is Romania, is, and a sister, Cilicia, was crying and praising the Lord. She said she didn't have any food. The shelves were bare. When someone showed up then with flour and oil. Her joy was overflowing and she kept saying, God knows our needs. He takes care of us. Well, Nina says she continued to call and check up on the situation of the village, finding out that there were more people. There were more people. There were elderly people. There were widows in the same situation. She said, my heart was so heavy for them. And the next morning, when the children came for breakfast, I shared this with them and told them about the situation, that I wanted to send some money so they could buy food. And so I asked the children if they would be interested in contributing, even if it was just a small amount. Anything would be so helpful and appreciated. And she said, to my amazement, my children, without even talking to each other, they went out and they raised $600. Again and again, she said, the Lord has continued to show His faithfulness. By the way, that's not the first time, is it, that God provided some flour and some oil? Wow. I don't know how many generations it was from then to now. We'll let Adam figure that out. In 1 Kings chapter 17, we read about a widow that had only, what, a handful of flour and a little bit of oil. And what happened? Elijah stopped at her place and asked not only for a drink, but asked if he could have some bread. And the widow was concerned, and she explained their situation and said, I only have this little bit of flour and this little bit of oil, and I'm going to need it so that my family and I, so that my son and I could have something to eat. According to verse 13 and 14 of that chapter, Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake first and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. Now, did things ever look a bit dismal for you along the way? In a particular situation, you were wondering, how is this all going to pan out? How is it all going to work out? Were you ever discouraged, perhaps, because it seemed like nothing was happening? And then God moved on your behalf, provided for you just at the right time. It was it not, a reminder that God's faithfulness endures to all generations, not just in Elijah's day with the widow, but in our day with the lady in Romania. It's you and I, you see. The psalmist noted that God established the earth and it abides, and that means it stands. Now, many of you planted things recently, whether in fields or gardens, and I realize there are certain variables that will affect the outcome of that. You know, we don't know what the weather will be, and so on and so forth. But and then in our day, there are deer. I saw one. I looked out the window this morning. There was one running across Glenwood Avenue, prancing around, and I thought, better stay out of that little garden of mine. But anyway, the other, what have we had? Rabbits, groundhogs. We even had a dog once that ate tomatoes. Can you believe that? Craziness. But anyway, we plant expecting something to develop. Why? Because God said that as long as the earth stands, there would be what? Springtime or seed time and harvest. Yes. God's faithfulness endures to all generations, and in that we find nourishment, guidance, and help in God's Word, just like those of old. I wonder if you noticed what the psalmist said in verse 92. He said, "Unless your law had been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction." And then he continued in verse 93, "I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life." Many Christians have times when a passage of Scripture, perhaps out of a devotional, perhaps out of a memorized verse or reading the Scriptures or whatever, it just makes a difference. It's like a word in due time. It just is the right thing for the moment. My guess is that even as I'm preaching this morning, the Spirit of God is doing something. I have no idea what it may be, but it may be a Scripture that I quoted or something by the grace of God. You know, the Holy Spirit takes His Word and does something in the hearts of those who are open to His precepts. God's faithfulness endures to all generations in that His Word continues to renew, to refresh, to restore, to revive people in our day, and it will continue to do so for the next generation. According to verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, Your Word is settled in heaven." So, great is His faithfulness. His faithfulness endures to all generations. Let's think now about the third key point. We need to make known His faithfulness. And I'm turning now to Psalm 89. Psalm 89, beginning with verses 1 and 2. "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever, and your faithfulness you shall establish in the very heavens." And that theme continues verses 5 to 8. "And the heavens will praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness also in the assembly of the saints. For who in the heavens can be compared to the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened to the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be held in reverence by all those around him. O Lord, God of hosts, who is mighty like you, O Lord, your faithfulness also surrounds you." So, there is so much that is declared in the natural world around us. Diane and I have been blessed by some of the flowers that we've had at our house this spring. At first there were tulips, and then azaleas, and then there were some iris, and then there were these big orange poppies, and then what was next? Rhododendron. Peonies popped open most recently. And the rose bush is in bud. Now, the flowers, the trees, the sky, the ocean, and the rest of creation around us says something about God's creativity and His majesty and His splendor and that kind of thing. The Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows forth His handiwork. Whenever there is a rainbow that appears in the sky, we're reminded of God's promise to never again destroy all flesh by a flood. There's a testimony, though, that is to go forth beyond the natural world, and it involves people like you and I that are proclaiming who the Lord is, what He has done for us. As the psalmist put it in verse 5, "The heavens will praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness also in the assembly of the saints." And this happens in a number of ways. One is through sharing a praise report. You know, in last week's service, most of you were watching from home, but you heard Bonnie Shank give testimony to she and Adam having inclinations or thoughts about adopting, you know, for years, and that the time was never right for them until more recently. And she gave thanks to God for the Lord's help in the multi-step application process that they were involved in, and in then getting the word you have been approved for adoption. And consequently, all of us rejoiced with them in this. You see, the testimony unto God's faithfulness in the assembly of the saints, if you will. Another way we make known God's faithfulness is through the songs that are used in a worship service, or the songs that we sing on our own. Did you notice what was said in verse 1, first part of verse 2? I will sing of your mercies, or the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known your faithfulness to all generations, for I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Think about what is communicated in a song like, mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Or think about some of the songs that we've used this morning, for they're faithful to lead us on. Or my hope is in the Lord. Or you never let go. Whether it is in children growing up in the families of church people, or whether it is guests that come among us, there ought to be that which gives witness to the faithfulness of God, and that his faithfulness does indeed continue. It endures to all generations. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we marvel, we're amazed as we reflect on who you are and who we have become in you. Thank you, Lord, for your bountiful blessings, the riches we have through Jesus Christ, and how you have kept us, how you have provided for us, how you're at work in our midst, even now. Bless us as we seek to be a blessing to you now, once again, in song. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you feel able to do so, please stand as we sing together that great hymn of the faith, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
great. You may be seated for this time of praise and prayer. You've noticed in your bulletin and heard me say all along to submit by email or phone call if you have a praise report or a prayer request. I'd like to start out with a praise report here from LMC. They were appealing for finances to help individuals throughout the church, our church network, had needs resulting from COVID-19. They received $75,000 in contributions from individuals and congregations, and also designated $30,000 from reserve funds. So they wanted me to pass along sincere thanks for those expressions of generosity. And so far, they've already awarded $103,000 with more applications to process. So that is a praise report for the generosity of God's people. Now, in terms of prayer requests, I do have some that were not in your bulletin, so I want to share those with you. One, I understand that Rich Cleland was taken to the hospital this morning, maybe a gallbladder situation. Carol McCoy requests prayer for a test that she is having done on her spine on Wednesday. We have a request from the Carr family regarding Rocky Carr. His heart has gone into an AFib situation, and so he will be taking some different meds and will be having a heart monitor for a time. We need to remember him in prayer. Also, Agora Ministries has been hit hard by COVID-19. There, I guess, some things that I hadn't thought about, perhaps you hadn't either, but their German volunteers, which they depend on very much, were ordered home by the German government when things went to lockdown in Ohio.